The Wisconsin Pension Fund, ranked as one of the most fiscally sound in the nation, took bold action this year. It invested in Bitcoin. Most all government workers are part of the employee trust fund that pays out retirement benefits. But for a pension fund widely known for being stable, prudent, and smart with investments, is this a departure or right on brand? Our next guest says it's certainly turning heads. We should note PBS Wisconsin employees are participants in the Wisconsin retirement system. We are joined by David Krause, Marquette University Emeritus Associate Professor of Finance. And thanks very much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
So what is the reaction within the kind of investment industry to this news?
The investment industry is pretty amazed that a pension fund this early in the introduction of the Bitcoin ETF came on board. They expect that it might take several years before there would be institutional involvement with Bitcoin investing.
So Bitcoin ETF is different and apart from the kind of Bitcoins that folks might have in their digital wallets?
Yeah, that's right. It was January of this year that the spot Bitcoin ETF was approved by the SEC. That allowed investors like the University Systems or SWIB in this case, the Wisconsin Investment Board, to buy directly these securities that are regulated by the SEC, highly liquid, and traded on exchanges.
Still, was it a surprise to you to see that?
It was, but Wisconsin's investment board has always been innovative. This is a fully funded pension fund. Mm-hmm. So in a way, they have the luxury of being able to invest for the long term. They don't need to worry as much about liquidity as, say, the pension fund for the state of Illinois, mm-hmm. which is only funded at 50%. Yeah. Of its level.
So should it cause pensioners, though, or workers to worry given the volatility of Bitcoin?
A lot of assets are volatile. I mean, if you really were to look deep down into the portfolio, you would see that a lot of assets, including some stocks, as well as some other alternative investments, are quite volatile in nature. Yeah, Bitcoin has moved around a lot, but supply and demand are starting to balance out, and I do think the investment community is beginning to understand this more as a viable alternative investment.
So how much are they putting into Bitcoin compared to the fund itself?
Well, compared to the fund itself, it's just a toe in the water. It's 0.1%. Now, $180 million is not pocket change, but this is a $180 billion fund. I think it's just an entry point. I think they're testing to see the reaction of the public to whether or not there's resistance to owning this, and they're using it as a trial run. Because it really is not going to impact the portfolio substantially until you get to maybe a 1% or 2% positioning.
Because I was going to ask you, what does your expertise tell you about whether this is a good investment for the pension fund?
Well, it's a good investment in the sense that it's going to add diversification. Mm-hmm. The objective of a portfolio manager or a fund is to maximize return while minimizing risk. Bitcoin, like other alternative investments, does not move in parallel with stocks and bonds. So therefore, it adds nice diversification effect. The potential upside returns are high, like as it could be with any new technology. Mm-hmm. And finally, because this is a currency with a limited supply, it actually can serve as an inflation hedge. And I don't think very many people talk about the potential for it to remove volatility of government actions.
Do you expect other states to follow suit, watch this closely and follow?
Oh, I do. I do. Now, I don't expect those that are underfunded can afford to do that, because this is a long play. I mean, the state of Wisconsin can afford to go through maybe several cycles. I think the long-term trend of this type of assets is going to be upward slope. But there's going to be dips, there's going to be peaks. But if you're a pension fund with low liquidity, you really can't afford long plays.
Do you feel like Wisconsin's investment in Bitcoin legitimizes it?
It does. The day that it was announced, that's when the SEC 13F form became available to the public, that day Bitcoin went up 1%. Now, is it solely attributable to the fact that an institutional investor bought those? I think so. So I think the market did pay attention to that, and I would not be surprised to see other institutional investors move into this asset category.
David Krause, thanks very much.
Okay, good. Thank you. Ethereum, which is another very legitimate, even has more functionality than Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just really going to just become a digital currency. And we don't appreciate it as much here in the States because we don't think our money is going to be taken from us by our government, and we don't worry about inflation rates going up to 200%. If you're in China, if you're in Brazil, if you're in Argentina, if you're in Venezuela, other areas where you're worried about the government absconding with your funds or just completely diluting away the value of your currency, people are holding Bitcoin because it removes that element of risk. So it's going to, Ethereum is actually even better. It has more functionality. Bitcoin is really just a peer-to-peer version of Venmo. Okay? Whereas this Ethereum has the ability to actually program within there. And I don't want to get too far out on a limb, but it, that when that becomes available, and it was just approved, we don't know the date that it can begin trading, but it was just approved this week, there's going to be a real pop there. And the state of Wisconsin will be investing in that.
Well, it makes private investors think, well, if they're doing it, it must be good.
I'll try it. You know, I was telling Tommy, I looked at my notes. I was at an investment conference with my students in 2016 down in Chicago. And we would get to hear the leading hedge fund analysts make their one best pitch of the year. And it was a fundraiser for charity, and people would pay like $5,000 to attend. But I got to bring down students for free, which was great. And this young analyst was pitching NVIDIA, which was a $12 stock at the time. It's a $1,200 stock now at the time, and it's the fourth largest company in the United States. And what do? They make the semiconductor chips that AI is powered on. And this guy was talking about artificial intelligence and machine learning, and he was saying, this company makes the chips. Think of this as railroads 150 years ago. They're making the rails. They're making the track.
Did your people listen?
We couldn't at the time because we had certain investment limitations that my students, what they could invest in and not invest in. But see, now no one would hesitate to invest in an AI stock. And 10 years ago, that would be as crazy, as Bitcoin sounds right now. This, you know, anybody under 40 is very comfortable using digital currency. Venmo and things of that nature, this is going to become very standard practice for how money is moved around the world 10 years from now.
Well, I heard it here first.
Well.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, you think that went well?
Yeah.
Okay.